So as we continue our series on interpersonal relationships, we're thinking about kindness from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. In 1975, a guy called John Malloy released a book called Dress for Success. Has any of you read that? Actually, looking at you, it doesn't look like any of you have at all. No, just a joke. But anyway, it was all about how putting the right outfit on at work could kind of help you climb the corporate ladder and do well in business. There it is. And it was a bestseller, and apparently one of his tips was dress like your boss. So there you go. If you're at work, try that, but not don't try too hard. What we wear at work, and when we're not at work, but especially at work, it's still a big concern today. And the clothing that we put on is decided by who we are. So a firefighter will dress very differently to a bank manager. A plumber will dress differently than a nurse, and so on. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul uses the language of clothing, the language of fashion, if you like. Talks about this wardrobe, what we should put on, and he's telling us what Christian attitudes and actions we should put on. So we read it a few minutes ago. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and so on. He's kind of giving us God's dress code. He's telling us what God wants us to wear. And actually, he's saying a similar thing to John Malloy in that book, dress like your boss. In this sermon, we're going to think about putting on kindness. That's the article of clothing, if you like, that we're going to focus on. But before Paul tells us what to put on, he tells us what to put off. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So he's reminding ourselves that if we're Christians, we've been made into new people, and God has given us a new wardrobe, a beautiful rack of designer clothes, if you like, and we're to take off, to put aside our old clothes from our past, what we were like before we became Christians, and to choose these new outfits that God has given us. We're different now, so we dress differently, so to speak. When Meghan Markle met Prince Harry, she changed what she wore, especially after they got married. She's a new person now, because she's royalty. She's the Duchess of Sussex, and she dresses as such. No ripped jeans in the presence of the Queen. Instead, subtle and modest and suitable designer dresses. And it's the same with us. No anger, rage, malice, slander, etc. Because we're new now, we're royal, we've been adopted into the royal family, God's family. So instead we put on, amongst other things, kindness. So that's what we're going to be thinking about, our kind of divine piece of designer clothing that God wants to clothe ourselves with. So let's think about kindness. First of all, kindness is fruit, specifically the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. So if we think of ourselves as trees planted by God, the fruit we should bear is kindness. Anyone who is in Christ is kind of planted in the soil of Christ, if you like. And that's the fruit that should be produced. That's what should characterize our lives. It would be odd and weird and strange if, as Christians, we didn't display the fruit of kindness, because we've been planted in Christ. Kindness is like the nourishing, wholesome, healthy fruit that we should bear so that we bless other people and build them up by our kind actions and words to them. But what exactly is kindness? Alexander Strauss, a Bible teacher, defines it as love in work clothes. I like that. He's saying that kindness is love expressed in a practical way. So it's the friendliness and the helpfulness which seeks to meet the needs of others through good deeds. You could say it's a gentle, generous usefulness, us being useful to other people. And it can take many, many different forms: a smile, a compliment, a text, a hug, an invitation to lunch or something, an offer of help, a gift, and so on and so on. Helping a pensioner across the road, as we saw earlier, can take many different forms, but it's practical in nature. And I think that kindness also is readiness. We're ready to do good. We're ready to relieve somebody of a burden they're carrying. We're ready to listen. We're ready to understand. We're ready to care and to actually do something to care. And here's the thing about kindness, the exciting thing. Kindness is powerful. It's really powerful. Kindness has this amazing, surprising power to bring about positive change in people, sometimes massive, huge change in people. I heard a story about the power kindness has to change people from a guy who interviewed a group of Auschwitz survivors, so Nazi concentration camp in the Second World War. And he was talking to one of them, and he said, because of your experiences in Auschwitz, do you like cringe when you hear a German accent or German, someone speak German? Do you kind of hate German people because of what you went through going through that concentration camp? And he said, absolutely not. And he told the story of why he bears no resentment to German people. He said, when he was very young, he got rounded up with lots of other Jews and put on this train bound for Auschwitz. And it was horrendous. There was the stench of excrement and urine. They were just packed in. They could hardly move. His stomach hurt so badly from not having any food that he cried. It was a terrible, terrible journey. And every now and again, the train would stop. It was a long journey to Auschwitz. And he said that when it stopped, German people would sneak out of the woods and push bread and cups of water through the slats in the boxcar so that they had something to eat and something to drink. And then they'd sneak back into the woods. And he said that act of kindness totally changed him, changed his attitude towards German people. So he came out of the awful experience and he doesn't hate German people. He doesn't cringe when he hears a German accent. He could well have done, couldn't he? It could have affected him so badly. But the amazing power of that act of kindness by those brave German people changed him. Kindness is powerful. Nikki Gumbel says this about kindness: unexpected kindness is the most powerful, least costly, and most underrated agent of human change. Wow. But I think he's right, especially when the kindness is unexpected. One just simple act of kindness can have an effect on somebody which totally transforms them. Tony Campolo, the Bible teacher, tells the story of his dad, who's Italian, arriving in America in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, that sort of era. So he's an Italian, he's emigrated to America, and life is hard. There's hardly any money. And so to earn a few extra dollars to feed his family, he gleans beans. There were these big fields near where he lived, and the farmers would, and the pickers would get all the beans, and the gleaners, at the end of the day in the evening, would be allowed to just pick the remaining beans, fill up their bucket, and sell them in the city for a few dollars. And that's what he did. And it was desperate times, and there wasn't much money, and they needed those extra dollars. And Tony Campolo's dad talks about one evening where he went to glean and he was desperate for money, and this huge African-American guy got there before him and proceeded to pick the beans so swiftly, with such dexterity, so much energy, with such speed that Tony Campolo's dad just sat down and gave up, because he thought, there's going to be none left for me. I'm never going to get any. And he was dejected and despondent because his family would go hungry that night. And then this shadow falls across him. He's sitting on the floor. And this huge black guy smiles at him and empties his bucket of beans, all of them, into Tony Campolo's dad's bucket. Smiles at him and walks off. And Campolo writes this: "My father never got caught up in the racism which pervaded the US in the 1930s and 40s, because whenever he met an African American, he thought of the giant of a man who showed him kindness when he was most needy. Kindness can break down the barriers which divide people, and it can make them one." It's powerful. Racism is a huge barrier, a terrible barrier, isn't it? But that act of kindness broke down that barrier. A relatively simple act of kindness, that smile, that practical love shown in giving those beans to Tony Campolo's dad. So powerful. We see how powerful kindness is in the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're brand new Christians, and the Spirit comes, it's Pentecost. But what happens? Well, kindness happens. So Peter comes across this lame man, and rather than just walking straight past and ignoring him, he stops. He says, "I don't have any silver or gold," but he heals him in the name of Jesus. And that has a profound effect. That act is called an act of kindness in Acts chapter 4, verse 9. And what effect does it have? Well, people are astonished. They come running. And then what happens? Well, in Acts 4 and actually Acts 3, to the people and the authorities, Peter has this opportunity to share the gospel with him. He's filled with the Spirit and he preaches the good news. That act of kindness created that opportunity, was powerful in drawing people to see, why did he do that? Where did he get the power from? And so on. Kindness is powerful. And your small act of kindness could not only transform someone's day, it could transform their life. It could rescue them from the brink of despair or despondency or something. You have power. We have power. There's power in kindness. Power to profoundly help someone and bless them, show God to someone, and so on. We're going to watch a short video about a small act of kindness done in Thailand. I think it's Thailand. It's subtitled, so you need to watch it carefully to get the gist of the story. As we watch, see if you can identify the act of kindness, and then see if you can see the transformative effect it has on the people involved. The clip starts off with a small boy who's just stolen some medicine from a shop. I love that video. That a little boy was shown kindness. He stole that medicine for his mum who was sick, and the shopkeeper paid for them and gave him some broth and meatballs and so on. Grew up to become a surgeon and paid that bill, that massive medical bill. And that's the thing about kindness. It has a profound effect on people. It's powerful. And I know that's true because I've felt it from you guys when Claire's been ill and we've been struggling. And you've shown me kindness in these practical ways that we've talked about. Sending flowers and cooking meals, sending texts and cards, coming around and asking me how I am, praying for us. Those practical ways. And that's kept us going and given us the strength to come through. Kindness has power, immense power. I know that. You're good at kindness, church. Keep going, because you can change people's lives. Let's continue. Kindness is the gospel. The gospel is all about God's kindness flowing to us. But it doesn't stop there, because that kindness affects us and then flows from ourselves to others and hopefully affects them. We see this in Titus chapter 3. So Titus 3, 3-5 says this: "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us." And that's the gospel, isn't it? That was us. We were foolish and disobedient. We were deceived, enslaved, and God came and rescued us from our slavery and paid the price that we deserved, the punishment, and so on, because of his kindness. But then Paul continues in verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying. He's referring back to what he's just said about the gospel. "And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." You see what Paul's saying? He's describing the gospel, and he's saying it's the kindness of God flowing from heaven to us. But it's not just so that we're saved from hell. It is that, and that's amazing. But it's also so that we do good, and kindness is good. And so Paul's saying to us, the gospel is God's kindness to us that then flows from us to other people. It's given out as we receive it. And we can say this: God's gospel kindness motivates us to show kindness in practical ways, like giving food and whatever it is. We might be thinking, I can't be bothered to show kindness today. I'm too interested in what's on Netflix. I'm too tired. But then we think, and we recall God's loving kindness in the gospel, in giving us Jesus, in being prepared to allow his son to die so he took the punishment that we deserve. And as we think about that, our hearts are softened and changed. And we start to become motivated to then show kindness to others. And actually, as we share God's kindness with other people, it can have a profound gospel effect on them. Author John Trent, when he was younger, used to lead a young life group at his church, like a youth group. And every summer he would take his youth group to summer camp, Christian summer camp. And he really encouraged them all to come, but especially those who didn't know Jesus personally, because he wanted them to hear the gospel, his gospel teaching on the camp. And one of the boys who came, who was not a Christian, was a boy called Mark. And the guy who was leading the camp and doing all the talks was a man called Mitch. He not only did all the talks, but because he was leader, he kind of called all the shots. And that would often mean that he decided when the meals would be. And that in turn meant that he would often be talking with the cook in the kitchen. Now the cook, she loved her work, but it was difficult work. It was hot, there were loads of mouths to feed. She was really tired all the time, almost dead on her feet from continually slaving away in the kitchen. So when Mitch used to meet up with her to discuss when the meal would be and so on, he used to get up and just give her his seat so she could sit, have a bit of a rest while he chatted to her. And Mark, this young non-Christian who was on the camp, noticed this. Noticed that Mitch just showed that little bit of kindness by giving his seat up to the cook so she could rest. He noticed it. And because he respected what he saw, he started listening to the talks that Mitch gave. And halfway through that week of camp, he gave his life to Jesus. And he said, it wasn't at the beginning, what made me think about Jesus wasn't the talks. It was that act of kindness that Mitch showed the cook. If that's what it means to be a Christian, I want to be one. That's what Mark said. So our kindness can have this profound effect in pointing people towards Christ, in opening a door for the gospel. It's kindness to tell people the gospel, but kindness often leads in and makes people think about their lives and our lives and what God's calling us to do and how kind Jesus was, and so on. Kindness can have this gospel effect. So there's like a sort of this circular effect of kindness. God is kind to us in the gospel, and that affects us, so we then show kindness to others, like Mitch. And then others see that, like Mark, and they respond to God's kindness in accepting the gospel. And, so, and then they are kind, and so the circle carries on and carries on. That's the power of kindness. So, in response to God's gospel kindness, let's clothe ourselves with kindness, because as we do, we will cause people to flourish, and we will bring them life and vitality. We'll enrich them, we'll bless them by doing that, and maybe we'll transform their lives in more profound ways than we could ever imagine.